All right, welcome to your deep dive. Today we are going way beyond just textbook definitions, using your words and your chosen document to unlock a little bit of Roman history.
I'm excited.
So the document is titled, As the Words Relate to Roman History. And, you know, each one of these terms that you chose from this document is really like a little clue, a little doorway into, you know, a whole world of, well, bustling streets, complex families, and a faith that actually dared to challenge an empire.
Yeah, and it is really amazing to see how these terms, when you start to connect them all together, you can really start to paint a picture of Roman society as a whole and the challenges they faced and how they changed.
Absolutely, and I think a great place to start with this is this term that you underlined, insulae. Now, forget those luxurious Roman villas you see in the movies.
Right.
This is where most Romans actually lived.
Yeah. Insulae, think of them as these big apartment blocks, often several stories high, packed with people from all walks of life, really like a microcosm of Roman society.
Wow. So not exactly the spacious, comfortable lifestyle we often imagine. I know the document also mentions challenges like sanitation and fire hazards. It makes you wonder what daily life was really like in those cramped apartments.
Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine the noise, the smells, the constant activity, but also, you know, imagine the sense of community.
Right.
The shared stories, the marketplace just outside your door. It was a true melting pot of social classes interacting in ways you wouldn't see in the more segregated villas of the wealthy.
That's a great point. It wasn't just about the physical space, it was about the social dynamics too. And speaking of social dynamics, this brings us to another fascinating term you highlighted, paterfamilias. I love this one.
Ah, yes, the paterfamilias, the male head of the household wielding absolute authority. This wasn't just about, you know, dad's word is law. This was a society where your father actually controlled your marriage, your finances, even your right to exist.
Wow. That must have had a huge impact on the lives of women and children, putting them in a very different position than we see in most societies today.
Yeah, definitely. The paterfamilias system reinforced this very strict hierarchy with men, especially older men at the very top. And, you know, this power structure, it permeated every aspect of Roman life, from the family unit to politics and even religion.
But this tightly controlled family wasn't the only power structure at play. To manage a vast empire, Rome needed a really complex web of officials. And that's where this term procurator comes in, another one you flagged in your document.
Ah, yes. You highlighted procurator. And, you know, this wasn't just some random bureaucrat. This was a powerful official. Imagine being responsible for, you know, a whole province, collecting taxes, keeping order. I mean, it really shows you the sheer scale of the Roman Empire and the challenges of managing it.
So like a regional manager for the Roman Empire, just keeping those wheels turning across this massive territory?
Exactly. And looking back at your document, you also underlined taxation. And, you know, this wasn't just about funding the empire. This was also about control. Procurators were tasked with extracting resources from the provinces. And you can imagine this often led to resentment, to rebellion, adding another layer of complexity to their role.
Makes you appreciate a good tax return. Okay, let's shift gears now and delve into the religious landscape of ancient Rome, which was undergoing a major transformation during this period. You marked the word Gentile in your document. I think this is a really interesting one.
Yeah, and you know, Gentile, simply meaning anyone who wasn't Jewish, is absolutely crucial for understanding the context of early Christianity. So imagine you're a Roman citizen just walking through the marketplace. You see this new group worshiping a different god. They're not Jewish, they're Gentiles, and their beliefs are spreading like wildfire. This is the world in which Christianity emerged.
And the document also uses terms like persecuting and bishopric, hinting at both the challenges and the growing organization of this, you know, new fledgling religion.
Yes, definitely. And early Christians, they faced intense persecution from Roman authorities, you know, who saw their monotheistic beliefs as a threat to the traditional Roman pantheon. Yet despite this, Christianity just continued to spread, establishing these networks of bishops to lead local communities. You specifically chose to include bishopric in your list, which tells me you're thinking about how this early church organized itself.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. And so these bishops, they played a pivotal role in maintaining the faith and structure of these growing communities.
And that growth was fueled in part by missionaries, you know, individuals dedicated to spreading the Christian message. We still see different forms of missionary work today, reflecting that ongoing desire to share one's faith. You also highlighted monk and nun, indicating that even in these early days, some sought a different path.
Yes, monk and nun. Those are really interesting. It shows us this inherent diversity within early Christianity. You know, some actively spread the word while others chose this, a life of contemplation and separation from mainstream society, seeking a deeper spiritual connection through prayer and solitude.
It's fascinating how these terms reveal the truly multifaceted nature of Roman society, from its crowded urban life and strict family structures to the rise of a new faith that would eventually transform the empire.
Absolutely. And, you know, this kind of raises an important question. How did the social and political structures of the Roman Empire, the very things we've been discussing, influence both positively and negatively the early development and spread of Christianity? Just something to ponder as you continue your exploration.
That is a great question, and I think it's something that our listener can definitely take away from this episode. We've just scratched the surface, but hopefully this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and given you a solid foundation for further exploration. Keep asking questions, keep digging deeper. There's a whole world of knowledge out there waiting to be discovered. Happy learning.